And the question is, are Christians still sinners? Because according to most pastors, preachers, and evangelists today, yes. And before anybody that maybe listened to this for the first time or whatever, because see, according to the risen Savior, according to a rightly divided Bible, no, we're not sinners. Now, before you jump to any conclusions, I'm not going to say we haven't stopped sinning, but are we considered a sinner? There's a couple of verses instantly. Somebody will take you to that. They'll take, well, it says right here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But see, I'm not saying that. There is sin still in me. And this does not, I mean, the sermon should be over in about 2 minutes. It's not a hard thing to explain. If anybody thinks that we've stopped sinning, that's the big deal, see? And I'm not saying that we don't have sin. Of course sin is in us. It's in our flesh. So, sermon's over. We're separated from our flesh. Spiritual circumcision, the circumcision of Christ made without hands, cuts away from the flesh. Our soul, not a sinner, our flesh, still at it. And we choose who it goes by. There you go. Sermon's over. If you want to try to convince a gainsayer, here's the details. Here are the details. Same thing in verse 10. It says, if we say that we have not, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in. I'm not saying that. 1 John chapter 3, 1, verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So we need to confess our sins. No. First of all, 1 John is not written to us. Simple as that. Case closed. Now, but we're going to go on here. Case opened again. The profane and vain babbling pastors today that are in the churches say things like this. Well, this is the theme of the Great Commission. Jesus even told people, go and sin no more. He said at the end of Mark, confirm the word with signs following. So if you're not doing right, you're going to have signs that tell you you're not doing right and God's going to get you. And if you are doing right, you're going to have signs that show that you're doing right. So because people today don't think that what they're doing is wrong, because that which is evil will be called good and that which is good will be called evil, so they don't think they're doing anything wrong or dressing wrong or talking wrong or treating their children wrong or letting their children go, it's not a big deal because there's no signs that said they're doing wrong. I mean, to sit down in front of a stupid TV and a video and they watch this thing and God doesn't do anything, there was no sign. So they don't think they did anything wrong. That's the theme today. They say to repent. They tell the people the reason they're not saved is because of what they're doing. It is not because of what they're doing. In fact, when somebody tells somebody out there that you're doing wrong, I want you to be, really, what they're really saying is, I want you to be like me. I've stopped sinning. I'm a Christian now. You need to do the same thing. But see, they don't tell anybody that everybody is in Adam. That's why they die. That's why they die. Wages of sin is death. Sure, the sin is there, but the sin is there because of Adam. Nobody takes anybody to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, where it really defines a lost person. Without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, they have no hope, and they're without God in the world. Why is that? Because they're in Adam. They're lost because they've rejected the Savior, Jesus Christ. And if they were to repent and stop doing all the wicked things they're doing, wouldn't change a thing. Now, you want a scripture for that? Sure. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, just in case there's anybody out there that wants to listen and hear the fact that, well, see, you're doing that in the flesh. No, you're not doing that in the flesh. Verse 9 says that if you've got Christ as your Savior, you've got the Spirit of God in you, you're not in your flesh. So verse 9 explains that verse 8 is not just because you did something wrong in the flesh. You're saved, you're not in the flesh. That's the key to Romans anyways. Understand that thing right there. Then they'll say things like this. Walk in His footsteps to stay clean. They want you to be like Christ. Imitate Jesus, they say. You are to be His image. You confess your sins, or otherwise you'll be out of sorts with God. Well, does that mean you lost your salvation? Does that mean you've lost your fellowship for closeness with God? This is what happens when you're doing something wrong. And if you're not right with God, you'll lose physical blessings. And then if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, let me get my mind back into this thing here. This is the things that the people who think that Christians are still sinning, or are sinners, there we go, are still sinners. This is what the modern pastors are saying. Be like Christ. Imitate Jesus. You're supposed to be His image. Walk in His footsteps and you'll walk in His image. You'll be Him. Or, they go to the other side. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. If you're doing right and you're not sinning and you're not doing things that are displeasing to God, then you'll have some gain. Supposing that gain is godliness in verse 5. There's a sign that's following your actions. If you're doing something right, then God will bless you. If you're not doing something right, God will not bless you. This is their talk. I read a Bible study online the other day for kids to find. You type into this thing and young people can get into this online Bible study. And they say things like, the experience of Christianity isn't about me. That's good. But then they say, it's about us. Meaning the group. So we're supposed to get along with everybody. There's anything about being about God. They say, Jesus promised that He would enter our lives if we ask Him. That's not true. Then they got a couple of Bible verses that are different. Here's a phrase. They delivered, says that we were delivered from the dominion of darkness. And all the Bible says we were changed, delivered from the power of darkness. The dominion of darkness and the power of darkness, totally different things. Then another verse says, transferred us to the kingdom of His dear Son. We weren't transferred. We were translated. We had to be changed. You transfer somebody from A to B, you don't have to change a thing. So to be translated, they took that word out. And then it says, transferred us to the kingdom of His dear Son. And the King James says, translated unto. You can be transferred to somewhere and not even be in the building, kind of a thing. But if you're translated unto, you're part of it. So this modern Christianity doesn't tell anybody that anything's any different in you. You just got to start walking differently yourself. And is that true? Here are a couple of verses that makes you think that you have to stop sinning. 1 John, we did the 1 John 1:8. John 5, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now there's a threat to put on your people. You better stop sinning or your life's going to get worse. John chapter 8, verse 11. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. There's the theme coming from all the pulpits. If they got any kind of Christianity blood in them at all, they're telling people to stop sinning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. We're going to do a lot of verses today, so be, and the notes are online. By the way, the notes are already online. If you just go to the website and click on the sermons, you can get the notes for this thing. And there's a lot of them this morning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Okay, so did you do any sinning? Well, I did. Well, but you're of the devil now. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, there was Walter, you know, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. So why did you sin, Walter? You guys have to know who Walter is out there. He says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. So in other words, if you're not keeping His commandments, He's not dwelling in you. This is what they're going to say. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. And that Spirit will tell you that you're not doing right, and so He's not abiding in you anymore. This is the common theme of Christianity, including King James Bible believers. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, you can see where it says, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. So if we follow Christ's footsteps, see, there's going to be suffering. So we're told to follow His footsteps, according to these verses. Then you go to Hebrews 13, verse 17, and you get the big one from our extortionary priests, pastors out there, that say, obey them that have the rule over you. I'm your pastor, so then you have to obey me. And submit yourselves. You have to submit yourselves to your pastor. For they watch for your souls. Oh, I'm so glad they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. See, here you go. For that is unprofitable for you. So you go unto your pastor and you tell him your problems, you tell him your sins, and actually you tell him you're sorry that you've offended him as your pastor. Now, is that the way this thing works? This is not the way this thing works. Rightly dividing your King James Bible, the Word of Truth, will show you that what's being taught in the pulpits today is wrong. Now, here's some other examples. 1 Corinthians 4:16. 1 Corinthians 4:16 says to us, I urge you to imitate me. Okay, we're going to imitate him. And 1 Corinthians 11:1, we should imitate Paul. It says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Well, first of all, was Paul sinless? No, he had problems. He did things all the time. He did things that weren't right. What about Christ? Can you imitate Christ? If you imitate Christ, you have to be sinless. You can't sin. You can't do anything wrong ever. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, imitate God. How do you imitate God? These are modern Bibles. I'm sorry, these are modern Bibles. I should have said that. Yeah. what kind of Bible does this guy have this morning? No, these are what the new modern Bibles say. Yeah. So I urge you to imitate me. Imitate Paul just as I imitate Christ. Paul imitated Christ. Then Ephesians 5:1, imitate God, therefore, everything you do. How do you imitate God? Do you want to imitate your father at home? There's not a father in this world that you should try to imitate. You follow. I'm telling you what, there's fewer and fewer fathers that the kids should be following because their fathers are going to lead them to hell, or they're going to lead them to the world, and they're going to lead them to some horrible living. They're not going to lead them to the truth. So sometimes kids are going to have to step up to the plate. Even the young ones, I guess. I mean, it's getting pretty tough out there. Some young little kid should just say to dad or grandpa, Dad, grandpa, I really can't watch this. Oh, we're going to have more of those kind of young kids. Shame on the fathers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. In a new Bible, in a modern Bible, says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. That isn't what that says. So what people are being told today in the church is that they have to be like Christ, that they imitate Christ, and Christ was sinless, so you need to stop sinning, and when you do sin, you're going to lose your fellowship with God, or if you're a Bible believer, you're not going to lose your salvation, just lose your fellowship. But if you confess it, according to 1 John 1:9, then see, you're still back in the groove again. Well, see, those verses aren't written to us. And that's where rightly dividing will fix that thing up. Now, think about this. These folks out here in this Christian world, this Christianity today, that have been blessed with money and buildings and houses and bank accounts and the whole thing, and they believe in confessing your sins, and they believe in trying to follow Jesus' footsteps, and they go to churches and hear about this Jesus, these folks actually must apparently think that they stopped sinning. They got to do a few confessions here and there, but they must actually walk around thinking that they're walking clean. That's an amazing thought. They must actually believe they've stopped sinning, and the results of that is their very prosperous life. And they look at people that are not living prosperously or being blessed by God, they look down upon them as they must be sinning. Now, okay, so that's a conceited attitude if I've ever seen one. And here's a question for those folks that are out there that believe that what we're talking about here. What is the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ? If you have to confess your sins and stay close to God, then why do we have to have our works, the things that we do, call them sins if you want, good works and bad works. Bad works would be sins. Then what's the point of the judgment seat of Christ? And another question is, did Christ not pay it all? Or did he pay for most? Did he pay for only the ones beforehand? Now that you're saved, you've got to obey those commandments and stay clean, because he didn't die for those. He just died for those the ones in the past. Now, that's the Seventh-day Adventist mentality there, the little that I know about those things. Okay, look at Romans 11:25. Here's what's happening in modern Christianity. Bible believers are just as guilty, if not as much as anybody else. Romans 11:25, he says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits." Christianity has become wise in its own conceit. The only reason we have what we have, it says right there, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And down to verse, what is it, 20? Talks about when the Gentiles are done to the goodness of God, then God's done to the Gentile nation. He'll cut it off. So what we're seeing here is, listen, and you can't tell this to somebody because they're so prideful anyway. They think they're walking clean. But what's happening here is Christians are so prideful that when you try to tell them this thing, they're going to get angry. And they're going to get contentious. And that tells, the Bible tells them that only by pride cometh contention. So we have a religion today that is supposedly doing so well, although they have to have car washes and carrot sales and broccoli parties and Halloween parties to have people to come to their church. You got to do some kind of a thing to get them to come. Coffee shops, gymnasiums, parking lots, and whatever. They got to have that stuff because, but they're very prideful. They're hugely prideful. Now, we have nothing to be prideful about. Everything that we have from the Savior is not anything to do with us. We have zero to be prideful about. In fact, once you start studying Paul and realizing what Christ did for us and to us and who we are, we're humbled. We ought to be humbled. There's a joy and there's a boldness and there's a confidence and a strength that we're supposed to have, but that's based on Him, not on us. We know that the more abundantly we love, the less we'll be loved. We know that we'll be called an enemy because we tell somebody the truth. We know that. And here's this one. When somebody says they've been praying for the truth, and all you got to say is what? I'm your answer to your prayer. And that's very, it's going to come across very conceited. But in all reality, if you got a King James Bible, rightly divided, and somebody says, "I've been praying for the truth," there you are. How many prayers have you been the answer to? And they don't know it. And then ask them, well, if you're praying for the truth, how are you going to know when the truth is there? Because the truth is here, rightly divided King James Bible. Okay, so there's the first half of this point. I want to get that thing out of the way quickly here this morning. Are Christians still sinners? According to the pastors and priests and the profane babblers in the pulpits today, King James guys just as guilty. They say yes, the Bible says no. Rightly divided Bible says no. You want to wrongly divide your Bible, you can show everybody that you can lose your salvation. You can show everybody that everything you do wrong, you better confess, and God's going to get you, and you better obey your pastor. The whole spiel, it's all there. Read the notes. Read it slowly. Here's my second half of this sermon this morning then. What does the risen Savior say about all this? He would know. I would think He would be the one to know. And we know enough about this King James Bible because He showed us how to understand this thing. Remember, Christ opens up the Scriptures for understanding. And He showed us these things. Is it because we're so good? Is it because based on our good works and all that stuff? No, not at all. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, don't you think the Lord would be the one that would know the answer to that question? He says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So He would know whether or not He's going to consider us a sinner or not. He says in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay, so if we start doing right because we say we're a Christian, and we start walking the way Jesus walked and did all the right things and confessed to make it right, who's dealing with sin in our lives? We are. No, Christ is dead in vain, and those that are trying to live the right life sinlessly, and when they mess up to confess Him, then they're taking the whole power of being a Christian away from Christ Himself. And then if you go to Timothy, write the rest. I think it's 2 Timothy 3. What does Jesus say about all this stuff? Well, He says a lot in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He describes the whole thing. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despised of those that are good. Wow, these are terrible people. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Uh-oh. Having a form of godliness. These are religious people that he's describing. But denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. So we're to turn away from this. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, which they have, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, which they have, led away with divers lust, which has already taken place, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's just about every church in America. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these, who are these, this religious crowd that he's writing about there that are, have a form of godliness, these also resist the truth. They're resisting the truth. Now he describes them. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. And that's what's happening. People are getting tired of what they're seeing in this fake, false, baloney religion, and they're going to some new things. It's called the emerging church, which is a terrible talk about that. Maybe tonight, if I get through this thing this morning. I hope I do, because I want this on one thing, but I haven't got it on video, so... Here we go. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse... Let's look at what, how we do this thing now. Let me show you something in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Now, maybe you've seen this, and maybe you're going to be surprised I haven't seen it looking at it this way. But let me read you 2 Timothy 2:15 the way I usually have read it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, which tells me that if I do the right things, I'll be approved unto God. If I do the right things based on a rightly divided Bible, I'll be doing the right things. That's kind of how I've always pictured this thing. But now let me read this thing again. Study to show thyself what? Approved. You're approved. And it isn't because of the things that you're doing, because you've studied and you've realized that rightly dividing the word of truth, you will see that if you're truly saved, you are approved unto God. Boom. I never thought about that till the other day. I'm standing approved right now unto God. Anything that I've done, anything that you've done, anything that you've done out there on their website, by what we're about to read here, and it's not because you confessed it, it's not because you've made amends, all this kind of stuff, it's because what we're about to learn or read again here, we are approved. Study. Okay? Get into your Bible and show yourself that God has already, you're approved unto God. And it's not based on your walk. It's based on what Christ has done to us, and I'll show you this morning what Christ has done to us. But lo and behold, Salina had their opportunity. It was in the paper Friday. This place could have been packed with people, and they could have found out what the goodness of God is, and they would have found out this morning that if they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're tired of the sinning they're doing, they're not going to stop these sins. They'll stop some of the stuff they're doing. They're not going to stop it all. Repent and stop all these things. They're not going to stop all that stuff. But they can find out how to be approved unto God. And it's not because we're going to start doing the right things that Paul teaches us. It's because God approves us. And I'll show you how that takes place. Does that make sense? I think it's marvelous. Now we know in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, yes, we grow in judgment. We do live a better Christian life. We do stop doing the things that we shouldn't be doing. More of them anyway. But if we could grasp 2 Timothy 2:15, where we're to study to show thyself approved unto God, then we have nothing to be ashamed about. That's just what he says. We have nothing to be ashamed about. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Here we go. Let's go down the list here. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Doesn't that make sense right there? To the praise of the glory of His grace, He has made us accepted in the Beloved. So now we're going to go through a whole list of things here that tells us that we are approved. We're approved. We're approved. We're accepted. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 starts off with what? But now. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of... And it goes on. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It starts off with what? Chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks, and he goes down the list there. Got all these people having this trouble in the tribulation and the way things are getting closer and closer and closer. But we are bound to give thanks, and it goes on and tells us why. What to do about it. Comfort your hearts. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. What's it say? For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. See, he changed us. He's changed us. We are approved. He's made us approved. He's made us accepted. He's made us light. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse... 2 Timothy, okay. I was about ready to fake that verse there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. It goes down that list of all those of that religious crowd. Talks about their folly. Then he says in verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. Well, we're learning his doctrine. We're learning his manner of life. We're learning about his purpose, his faith, his long-suffering, his charity, his patience. We're also learning his persecutions and afflictions. That's true. But now thou hast. And understanding Paul's right of dividing takes us away from that religious scene. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. So we are approved. We're approved. Not based on our walkings, but of what he's done to us. We see in Romans chapter 6 that we're no longer dead in our sins. And you go from chapter 6, verses 1, all the way down to 14. And we see in verse 14, for example, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You see, for now, you're not under the law, but under grace. So we see that, we've been quickened. We were dead in trespasses and sins. He's quickened us together with Christ, Ephesians chapter 2. He says we've quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So, He's changed us. Then you go to Romans chapter 6, verse 15, all the way down to verse 22, and you will see that now this is where we start talking about making the choice whether we're going to follow the sin that's in our flesh or not. And we still choose to go wrong and to do wrong. He says in verse 19, for example, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness. So now we make a choice. Okay, so what's the problem here? Well, aren't you having to confess? No, because see, those things that we choose to do that are wrong will stay with us in our flesh until the judgment seat of Christ. So Christ is taking care of the things we do. He's taking care of the things we do that are good. He'll reward us later at the judgment seat of Christ. And the things that we're doing wrong, we will be rewarded for what we've done wrong in the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this made me think of a verse. I'm not sure I can find it offhand here. I sure thought it was in Timothy. I know it's in the top upper right left column, but that doesn't help. No, maybe it was Colossians. No, look at 2 Timothy chapter 5. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. There are two verses that tell us that there are some things that we can reap down here based on the works we're doing. He says in verse 24, some men's sins are open beforehand. I mean, sometimes you do something wrong and it's going to be spied upon. It's going to be seen. You're just not going to get away with everything, he says. And then he says, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. It's still going to pop up at the judgment seat. Verse 25, the same thing. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. So there are things that you're going to be doing down on this earth that are good, and it'll show up and it'll be recognized as a right thing, and you might possibly get your reward today. That kind of a thing. But what we're talking about this morning is this sin. You know, even Paul, Romans chapter 7, lost some of his personal flesh battles. He fought with the mind. He wanted to follow what God told him to do, and his flesh wanted to follow what his flesh wanted him to do. And lots of times, the way he said it, he did give in. So, come on, folks. If there's these people out there that think that they need to stop sinning because their profane babbler has told them, you got to stop sinning because I told you to do that, and if you don't, you better confess up, or God's going to get you, take your money. If you don't give enough money, God's going to get it anyway. That's extortion, folks. We talked about that Wednesday night. That's extortion from pastors today. So they're robbing people of the truth, of the fact that the people during the tribulation, they're going to have to stop sinning. They're going to have to stop. It's that simple. They're going to have to stop sinning, Walter. They're going to have to stop sinning. In the Gospels, they had to stop sinning. Great Commission, they had to stop sinning. During Paul's time, we stand approved because of what he's done. What he's done. We got a good verse at the end. So, did anybody leave? What time? 11:30. Kind of we're shooting for 12:30, I guess. 12:30, at the earliest, anyway. There's a couple good verses that just nail this thing down beautifully. And I'm hoping this is something that we can hand to somebody. Say, here, listen. Here's what we mean by this. You know, pick this thing up. Let's go here to Philippians chapter 1. Now, who's all there, Marilyn? Can you read down the list? Bob, what a crew. I mean, is that good? That's a crew. I wish the folks in this building would have a big cleanup after that. So maybe this works out better. You can just all clean up back there. And what was that? Oh, okay, 12:15. We'll make it. We'll make it. Here we go. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. We are experiencing some hard times in our country, in our lives. And we're going to experience more hard times. I don't like talking about this. I'm scared to death. I'm very scared over this stuff. I try to whine to some people on the internet, and all I found were some people who were worse than us. I mean, worse off than us with their health, worse off than us with their house situation. They have to move out of their house by January 1st because they're going to sell it, and there's no place. You know, everybody's got everything. Jobs are being lost everywhere, and there's no jobs anywhere. I mean, it's just terrible. And I read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, that even though we're going to live as an approved under God Christian, all the things they talked about, I see something here in verse 12, and here's what he says. He says, But you understand, brethren. See, he just got done telling people about the fact that you need to approve things that are excellent, and you're going to grow in judgment. We're going to start saying no to some things. We're going to start withdrawing from some situation, from some people. We're going to start trying to do more right in our life as we grow as a Christian. And right after that, he says in verse 12, But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me, and he's had some things happen unto him, have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. Now, I'm not any better than this than anybody else. I'm not that high-minded pastor guy. He is telling us that as things get worse, this gives us a better opportunity to tell people about the risen Savior. Serious. You mean I can't live my life better and maybe get a job somewhere? I can't live my life, stop doing some of the things I know I'm still doing, God. And if I stop doing those things, can you help me fix this situation in my life because the country is falling apart? And all these people that are out there trying to get people to stop sinning, and these people think they've stopped sinning, and they're being blessed. No, they're not being blessed by God. Because God cannot be bought. God cannot be bargained with. So Paul says, these things that are happening unto him, as he's told people, you're going to start changing your life, you're going to start saying no to this, no to that, no to this, and you're going to start doing the things you should do, wearing the clothes you should wear, not watching the TV, watching the things that you should if you have to, if you got the right machine, the whole thing. And life gets terrible, and life is going to get worse. That's supposed to give us a better opportunity to further the gospel, which is Paul's gospel that we need to do. Now, isn't that just frustrating? Don't you wish you could clean your life up and bargain with God and get blessed again? I mean, serious. We all know we got something in our little secret little closets. I mean, come on. And you're already thinking, what do you got in yours? What would you possibly have in yours? Well, I'm kind of curious about yours, too. I mean, come on. You mean you're a Christian and you haven't stopped doing everything wrong? What do you think? Go upstairs, go into the bathroom, look in that mirror and ask that same question. You don't have to do that. So, we're not able to buy God off like everybody out in this world is going to be doing. I look at the houses in this town and the people, the things that they're buying and renting and the $90,000 the guy writes to help somebody put a concession shack in a football field. $90,000, he writes them a check. Somebody out there, send us some money. Not for me, although I'm okay with that. Sorry, Beck. But it's for the ministry here. We need some money. We need a rich guy to... No, well, we do, but... We're not going to clean our lives up to get God to bless us. We're already approved, and Paul says, here's an opportunity to further the gospel. All this is. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Now, this is, I'm sorry, but I'm excited about this sermon because there's some good verses in here, and the conclusion, to me, is marvelous. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, get out the notes. There's only 7 pages of notes, and read this thing, because there is a huge lie going on in America. And those few people who want to teach the truth about the risen Savior are becoming the enemy. And the enemy that actually is out there is prospering. And we're not going to. And you can't buy off God. Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. As things fall apart in this country, we have nothing to be ashamed about. Well, how about your personal walk? That's probably so, but not unto God, because you're approved unto God. Because of what Christ... And I'll get to that in a couple of minutes here. So I'm not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I'm not ashamed of Paul. So if we're going to further the gospel... That's what we further. And isn't that hard to do when you don't have a job, when your house is having problems, when you don't know where you're going to have the next month of income, when you don't know about the health situation, and your kids are sick, and all these things that are going on, and you're supposed to have a joy and a peace and a comfort of the heart? I'm having a terrible time, and I say to myself, why am I having such a terrible time? It's not God's fault. Because as far as He's concerned, I'm approved. I'm okay. So this is going to get to be a tough deal. He says in 1 Timothy 6:6 that godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, what's godliness? Doing all the right things? No. Godliness is God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's the truth. That's what godliness is. So you accept that and you believe that and you try to live that. Well, Paul teaches to live those things. Then that contentment from what Christ has made us approved already, that's the gain to have. And I know it's hard to be content when you're, I say it again, you haven't got a job, you haven't got a house, you haven't got the health, you haven't got the money, you haven't got the kids, you haven't got the grandkids. It's hard to be content, but we need to be content based on the fact that we're approved of God, approved unto God. Let's keep going now. How did we become so improved? Approved, what I say. Approved. Okay, I'm not saying improved, approved. Well, look at Colossians chapter 2. How did this happen? I read a thing the other day where somebody mocked these next couple of verses, and this guy's a King James guy, and I wanted to call him up. It's like what people do in this country, I guess. I'm not going to do that. But why? How can you discount these next couple of verses? Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Starts right there. Right there. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of the principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, not water, just baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that's a Gentile, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, how do you deny those verses right there? You're cut away from your flesh. What's the sword? Sword is Hebrews 4:12, the sharp and two-edged sword. You find all that stuff. It takes place. Now, have you taught this to your kids? You've got to teach to your children, to your young people, that this is what has taken place when you put your faith in Christ Jesus, when you get to be a little older. This will take place. And this is how he can make us approved. Then he goes to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, where we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So not only does he cut us away from our flesh so we can be approved, he seals it so we cannot become unapproved. Okay? That was what took place in our past. Now, what's taking place today that'll show us approved? Well, King James Rightly Divided Bible will tell us that we're going to build upon the foundation. Because, see, we have the right foundation with the right Jesus Christ, and we get to our foundation. Now it needs to be built upon, and we're going to follow Paul for that. So, sure, there's part of the approving. And then what about tomorrow? Well, tomorrow we've got the judgment seat of Christ. We've got the our vile body will be changed. And we got the judgment seat of Christ. Did I just say that for the second half there? I did talk about that. So the judgment seat of Christ in part two of today will tell us what it is we can prepare for. And then part three is when we have the actual judgment seat of Christ, he will make our flesh. He'll take care of the things that did in our flesh. And he'll fix that. So we are approved. We were approved. We can be better approved. And we'll be finally approved. And if you don't do the right things today, it's going to burn up in the judgment seat of Christ. It isn't going to burn you up. Now we've got a long list of things. Here we go. We got time here. We're going to go through just how approved are we? We're approved unto God. Okay? How approved is that? Well, here we go. Are you ready? Ephesians chapter 2:10. How approved are we? Well, we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're His workmanship. Okay, so if we are His workmanship, then we need to walk sinlessly? No, because see, our soul is clean. Our flesh is still our flesh. There's a difference. People got to see the difference. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are His workmanship now, but He hasn't done anything to my flesh yet. My flesh, it didn't change an ounce. Well, it's older, but it hasn't changed since I became a Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Well, while we're proved, are we? We're His workmanship, and in this case, we're in Christ. We're in Him. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been made to drink unto one Spirit. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That's verse 27. Verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So he makes us in Christ. He says in Ephesians, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10, which we just read a minute ago, for we are His workmanship, but now it says, created in Christ Jesus. So that verse right there gives us two things that we're approved. We're His workmanship, and we're created in Christ Jesus. So we're in Jesus. We're in Christ. That's amazing. Look at Colossians 1:27. Here's another one. Well, Christ is in us. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Just after God done saying that you can't please God in the flesh, then he goes on and says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you're not saved, you haven't got the Spirit of Christ. If you are saved, you got the Spirit of Christ. Christ is in you. And if Christ be in you, it says in Romans 8:10, the body is dead because of sin. I got a dead body right here. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? His. How about 2 Corinthians 5:21? How are we approved? Just how much approved are we? In this case, he says, we are made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what he does. We become his, we are his workmanship. This is what he does. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Tells me that I'm a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We're a new creature. Marvelous, huh? Let's see one of your pencils. I brought three of them. I didn't even keep them in my pocket here. Okay. Let's go here to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. How do we stand approved? Because we've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. Look down at chapter 2, look down to verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You go down that, through that whole part of that chapter, he brings the Christians and the Jews together into one habitation for God, habitation of God. There's a whole process right there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We've been quickened. In verse 5, he says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. So how approved are we? We've been made alive. We're no longer dead in our sins. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Here's something else that's taken place that's made us so approved. Do you get the drift with all my little odd bunny trails here? The modern Christian is being told they need to stop sinning in order to get God's blessing. Simple as that. And we're finding out that rightly divided that Bible, we study that thing, we see that we are already standing approved unto God. We're going through the things that says we are approved and how it took place. It's amazing. And it isn't because of us. It isn't. We're not getting this because we've walked good enough and now God's going to show us these things. Not at all. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, which is what modern religion is doing, which is what Christianity is doing, which is what the Bible-believing guys, the King James guys are preaching. You better get your own righteousness together. When you don't, you better confess it, or God's going to chastise you, take your money, hurt your kids. I mean, our own people are saying these things. It's crazy. King James only, Bible-believing people only, even those that hate the Greek, don't go to the Greek and the whole thing, and they're rightly divided by verses, not by books of Paul. They're saying the same thing, that they're trying to establish their own righteousness or God's going to get them. And the rightly divided Bible says that's not true. That's for yesterday, the Gospels. That's for tomorrow, the tribulation. That is not the way it is today. So wipe off the tears and be what we've already been made to be. I don't know. It's hard. I'm not standing up here, Mr. Success. I'm not the Jack LaLanne of Christianity. Okay? You know, the spiritual Jack LaLanne. I don't know why I thought of that one. Jack LaLanne, Jack LaLanne? Some old guy. He is. He's an old guy. Thank you very much. For years, he's an exercise guy. He's not even going to die because he drinks the right juices and does all the junk and he's exercising. That's all he does. He's got to be the most boring guy in the world. And he's like 900 years now. Every wrinkle you can put on his body, he's got them, but he's still alive. That's not what a waste of life he's had, drinking carrot juice and grass juice and exercising every day. Boy, anyway. So redeemed from the curse of the law, not trying to establish our own righteousness, have not submitted themselves into the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law. Now this one so bothers people. The law does not exist. Romans chapter 7 tells us if there is no law, there is no transgression. And I know that sounds conceited and it sounds strange, but that's what the Scriptures say. I believe the Scriptures to be true. And because of that, I've got nothing to confess. I know you guys can't handle that. I've got nothing to confess. But it's going to come out in the judgment seat. Those things that we think we should confess, it's going to come out. Those are works. Those are bad works. You can call them sins if you want. You chose to follow the sin that's in your flesh. Paul says, it wasn't me that did it. It was the sin that did it. The sin that's in me. And people just can't grasp that. The religious crowd just can't grasp that. They expect us who talk the way we talk about a rightly divided King James Bible, they expect us to be walking so perfectly out there that they just would want what we have. Well, we don't. We ought to, but we can't. I mean, we can't. We can't. The Jews didn't do it. The Gospel Jews didn't do it. The Great Commission Jews didn't do it. They're not going to do it in the tribulation except with the help of the Spirit of God upon their flesh. And even that's going to be a challenge. Why do we think we can? You King James guys out there. All things are lawful. I'm sorry to say, for some reason you don't like that, but all things are lawful. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. We got a couple strings here, though, don't we? We'll skip the strings of the liberty in Christ because all things are lawful. But there are five things that you got to consider before you do it. It's going to cause you to stumble. It's going to put you under the power of it. Yeah, you can watch TV all you want. But if it's not the right thing to watch, and if it's going to put a power over you that you can't stop watching that TV, you've got to eat dinner in front of that TV. You've got to sleep in front of that TV. You've got to have it on when you're home alone. I mean, all these kind of things, there could be a problem there. Somebody comes over and sees you watching that video, and you cause that person to stumble. There's a lot of responsibility to the liberty in Christ. Got to edify, and it can't be an occasion for your flesh, to the flesh. An occasion to the flesh, it says. Now, here's our final. Don't anybody leave out there. How are we doing? Nobody's left yet? Here's the concluding two verses. And these are marvelous. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. He says, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And here we have a religion trying to get people to be in the likeness of him. Imitate Jesus. Why? He was made in our likeness. Can we imitate Christ? No. Can we do all that he did? Well, no. He fulfilled the law. Why do you think you can fulfill the law? Why do you think you have to fulfill the law? By following in Jesus' footsteps. Jesus' footsteps was the Old Testament law. The New Testament doesn't begin until the death of the testator. So what are you doing trying to walk the law of the Old Testament when Christ took care of that thing? And he made himself into our likeness. Why do we have to become like him? Oh, wait a minute. The devil says he wants to be like the Most High. So we understand where that's coming from. But here's the final verse, as much as I hate to quit this early, but we got to. I want to make sure the folks out there get a chance. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Well, that's fine. Sure, we still want to do the right thing. Should want to. But he says, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Doesn't say imitated. He says to magnify him. And does that mean we do all the things that he taught in the Old Testament that they should have done? No, it means we should follow what Paul tells us what to do. Unfortunately, the people, what people out there don't know what Paul told us we should do, and when we do those things, they don't understand. Yes, we don't need to turn that stuff on. Yes, we don't need to do this. We don't need to dress like that. We don't need to talk like that. All these kind of things change our lives. But if Christ is going to be magnified in my body, then the furtherance of this gospel is the fact of what it is that Paul's manner of life and this peace and joy still also needs to be recognized in our life. And I'll say it again. That's really hard. That part of it is really hard because we are having all those things happening to us out there, the joblessness, the home thing, the price, the money thing, the finances stuff, the losing your retirement, not having retirement, no health insurance, can't even go see a doctor, stuff like that. These are tough times. In order to further the gospel of Christ, which is a risen Savior, not only should we be doing those things that Paul teaches us to do to please God, we should be who we have to be for Christ to be magnified. Because what He's done for us, He's made us approved. We walk around in this mess, this Halloween parade that goes around or whatever today, and all these issues we're having in our lives. We should not let those affect us because we are approved unto God. There was a judgment seat of Christ coming up to take care of the fleshy things. And people should want what we have because of who we are. Because of what Christ has done to us. Not because we suddenly are sinless in our walk. And that's tough. Magnify Christ, not imitate Him. Realize that study to show thyself approved. Show thyself approved. Wow, I'm approved. Now, that was way too fast. There's your notes. They're online. I'll try to type a little study for it, kind of those institute-y type things. I'll try to make it so we can learn these things, but this is the stuff that our friends, your friends out there need to hear. This is not being taught in their churches, Baptist or otherwise. It's not. Open up a King James Bible and show them that that study to show thyself approved. And just pray. And see if you can't find somebody to tell that to. Learn it yourself. And then take it to somebody else.